Well, hey, I want to say welcome to the Disciple Making Church podcast, and so glad that you're joining us. My name's Ken Adams, and I am the director of Impact Disciple Making Ministries, and also I get to be the pastor of a place called Crossroads Church in Noonan, Georgia. And we're excited that you're joining us because this is a place where we just talk all things disciple making and how it relates to the local church, and that's the mission that Jesus has given us. And so hope you're going to enjoy our discussion today. Got my buddy David Putman with me, and I'll let you know a little bit more about Dave here in a little bit. But I do just want to say that if you don't mind, share our podcast with people that you know might have an interest in disciple making and in how it fits into the local church. And also, if you don't mind, just like it, so that'll help us be able to know how well and how effective it really is and whether or not it's working for people or not. So today, so excited about today, really am, because this is my buddy David Putman, and David and I have been knowing each other for a little over 36 years, going on 37 years, man. That's crazy, isn't it?
It's been a long time.
It's been a quick long time. Let me tell you a little bit about how Dave and I met, because I think it's really kind of cool the way God has really kind of woven our paths together, and in some ways has always kind of brought us this podcast is almost kind of like a full circle thing.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And so I was in seminary back in 1989, and felt like God was calling me to plant a new church, and I was going to do it in the Atlanta area, which is where we're located. And so I came home during a Christmas break, and I went to some local associations. That's kind of what we call it in our church world, local associations. They're little areas of ministry where our denomination sort of works out in cooperation with other churches. And so we were going to a local association. And so I went in and I took a resume with me, and I went into one that I never even knew about, never knew anything about it, didn't have an appointment, none of that. I walked in the door, and there's one guy sitting in his office, and this is him. And David's sitting in his office, and I walked in and I said, "Hey, my name's Ken Adams, and I'm about to graduate, and I'm looking to plant a church." And the way I remember it, Dave, is you said, "Well, we're looking to start some." And then I said, "Well, I just want you to know that I'm not looking to start a traditional church. I'm wanting to start a contemporary church." And so Dave said, "Well, that's actually what we're going to look to start." And so so we began a relationship at that point. Is that how you remember?
Yeah, that's a great reminder. I remember that day, and I'd actually forgotten that you'd come first by my office. I was trying to think about that. So, hey, I had graduated from seminary in 1988. Okay. So you graduated in 88. Mm-hmm. So I was, we were trying to figure out what we were doing. Yeah. And, so that was December. You graduated in what?
In May.
May.
And I got here in June.
And got here in June. Mm-hmm. Gosh, what a great perspective.
So this past June was 36 years for me being here. And so I got to tell you this, because this is what happens a lot of times, is that I have been the only pastor at Crossroads. But when people say, "Did you plant Crossroads?" I have to explain it all, because the reality is that Dave was serving as a church planner, strategist maybe, or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
And he was in our association, I think specifically to help plant new churches, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so when I graduated from seminary, it was while I was in seminary, God called me to church planting. Mm-hmm. And Ken, back in 1989 and 88 and 86 and 7, when I started studying or trying to learn more about church planting, there wasn't a whole lot going on.
That's right.
And
not contemporary churches, for sure.
No. Yeah. And so the things that the group that I was working with wanted to drop me into just didn't feel like a fit to me. It was usually something already established. And so I really wanted to start something from scratch, because my gifting was more apostolic, catalytic, to say. And so they hired me as a church planter strategist, which means area in the Atlanta airport and back beyond that. Mm-hmm. was my responsibility to cultivate multiple church plants. Mm-hmm. And that was really, for me, the ideal job. Yeah. Well, there's only one problem. I had never planted a church.
You don't have to tell everybody that, man.
So I had this great job leading a church planting movement with absolutely no experience. That's cool. So when they hired me, they gave a condition. They said, you got to plant the first one. Mm. And so that's where I had begun to cultivate the work that you ended up starting and shepherding.
Yeah.
And so when you walked into my office, I thought, my gosh, here's a guy I can hand it off to. and it really was a God thing.
Yeah.
I mean, because I remember we began to build a relationship, begin to have multiple conversations by phone as you finished up and as continue to work and just confirming what God was doing. Yeah. And man, there wasn't a page, but we were on the same page.
That's
even
right.
though there wasn't a page at that point in time, we was on the identical same page, and it just became apparent. So I was able to use my catalytic gifts, and before I blew it up, I was able to get out of there. And you were able to come in, and 36 years later, I am so proud of the work God has done here, and so grateful that I got to be a little tiny part of it.
You
got to
be a big part of it.
Yeah, so it was awesome, man.
Yeah, so I remember, you know, back in that time, I remember that you had actually done a lot of that. And I love the way you said it. Your gifts were catalytic and mine were not. And so I think this says a lot about church planting. And maybe, you know, it's a very different model nowadays. But I thought that was a really good model because you were a little more apostolic in that role, and you were catalytic. And I was not, but I was definitely more pastor teacher kind of person and leader. And so you did a lot of the groundwork, and I still remember that you started the very first service here and you developed a core group, and basically that's all you had. You had a weekend service and you had a core group, and about maybe about 2.5 or 3 months into it, you told them from the beginning, I won't be your pastor. I'll help you get started, but then you'll call a pastor. And so when I got here, I had about 65 people or so coming, and then that's where, honestly, that's kind of where my gifts came in. And I don't know, I just looking back at it, I go, wow, what a great model. And maybe we ought to be doing more of that today. I don't know, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. So just tell us this, man. So you told them, you said, once we call a pastor, I'll hand it over to him. And you did, because you've only been back twice since then, and this is the second time, right? And
so, it's been a few times I've tried to stay away from it.
So you really did hand it off.
It's what I call loving and leaving.
You gave it away and got away.
You know, which hindsight, you know, if we did it differently today and knew what we knew now, we probably wouldn't. Probably the handoff wouldn't be probably. But you know, in my thoughts back in that day was, you came in, you know, like one Sunday I'm up, I'm preaching to that 65, 85 people. I remember it was being hundreds I handed off to you. you know, I'm preaching, and then the next Sunday you're there, and you're preaching. And I really did want to move out of the way. Mm. You know, I felt like I had told them from day one and that it was important for me to move out of the way. And so from there, I just continued to work in the area, catalyzing other churches, and went to South Carolina, Charleston for a while, and planted a church thought I might be a little bit more like Ken Adams, pastor, teacher, pastor, shepherd, and discovered, hey, I'm still the same catalytic guy. So every time I would get it started, I'd have to restart it, you know, or I'd get bored. And and really what I've done, most of my ministry has been involved in planting and catalyzing churches in some form or the other, working with some our denomination at the time for a season. And over the last, I guess, decade, I've worked as a consultant with churches in a lot of those areas. And then more specifically, like you said, what brings us together is during COVID, I just had some real aha moments mm-hmm. about disciple making. Mm-hmm. You know, as I look back and reflect, even in those early days, the reason I wanted to plant churches, mm-hmm. and I can remember becoming a new Christian and wanting to plant new churches. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know that right. was a thing, but there was something right. in me about wanting to start something. And it always boiled down to this idea of making mm-hmm. more and better disciples. And I right. think that's a term you use a lot right. of times. Right. And so, you know, it has really always been about that. Yeah. But now, through an organization called Planting the Gospel, I get to focus 100% on my time, really sort of shepherding what I would call a local movement, but then reaching out to the church in the U.S. that I'm praying we'll see a really shift from a programming model, predominantly programming model, to a disciple-making model.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's where we come back together.
That is. You know? And so this really is kind of an interesting thing because we started, both of us started really kind of having really not much of a clue what we were doing.
Yep.
But what's really interesting, we've kind of gone different paths and haven't spent a whole lot of time together. We reunite every now and then. But what's interesting is that while I've been on a journey and you've been on a journey, what's cool is that God has been sort of building in both of us just this overwhelming passion. And I know because you and I've talked about mm-hmm. it, just this overwhelming passion to see the church get back to the way Jesus started it. We say this all the time, that Jesus started the church the way he wanted it. Now he wants it the way he started it.
Yeah.
And what I think you and love I both that. Agree on is that when Jesus started the church, he's the original church planter.
Yep.
And when he started the church, he literally started the church to be a movement of multiplying disciples that would be growing exponentially and be growing rapidly. And it literally could reach all nations if we just did it the way he did. So a lot of things over the last 30 years or so, you've learned a lot of things. I've learned a lot of things about just how do we help the church get back to that original model that Jesus gave us. So I just wanted to ask you today, I mean, obviously we don't have a ton of time, but I just wanted to ask you, maybe what do you think, Dave, would be maybe just like, let's say the top two or three takeaways or two or three lessons that you think God has really sort of been forming in you since we started?
Yeah. So, hey, a lot, you know, just a lot of things going on. But since we're talking about church planting, I was just had this thought, you know, what if we could go back, you know, and we can't, right. you know, but what if we could go back and start it all over again? Mm. And the reality is I would start it differently. Mm. And it's, you know, and what we used to do, and part of our motivation, by the way, was when they brought me out here in the first place and they kept showing me all these little small core groups of people who have got sort of estranged in some way from their churches and they were starting new churches. I knew that wasn't the model we wanted to follow. But it was this idea of, hey, what if we could get off to a big start? What if we could blow through a lot of the stuff that we have to deal with when we're starting very, very small? And I the interesting thing is, and we got really good at that, you know, and we've seen a lot of that, and we've seen, you know, movement of mega churches, and you're a large church yourself. But as I think back, what we would do is we would set a date and have a grand opening, and then we'd just work, and build a crowd with a group of volunteers, and we would launch the church. And then if we had 200 people show up the next week, well, guess what? We'd have 100 people show up. Mm-hmm. Then by the time Ken shows up, we got 65, you know, and half of them are trying to figure out if they're going to stay or go.
Right.
You know, and that was just the model. And so as I think back and sort of what we're doing now, if I had to do it over again, and what I'm learning is getting back to Jesus's model, just like you said. Mm-hmm. And for us, you know, and I think this, just the way we put handlebars on that is what we've learned is, you know, and what we're trying to do with our disciples is, hey, we want to help every everybody identify a harvest field.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch here, but for example, I think a lot of disciple making is inward focused. Okay, but I think the real need and the thing that was so unique about Jesus, it wasn't that he wasn't inward focused, meaning he did go after religious people, and you see what happened. But he has some success as well,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But he was really outward focused.
Right.
And so I think if there's anything that I would do different, I would want to be more outwardly focused. Mm. And so we talk about, hey, enter the harvest field, plant the gospel, make disciples, and inform churches around those disciples.
Mm.
And I think that's the big learning that I have is that,
Say that again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we want to empower, we want to equip people to enter the harvest field,
mm-hmm.
plant the gospel. Got to get back to the gospel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make disciples,
mm-hmm.
and then form churches around those disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm out today and I'm in Sharpsburg and I'm doing this all over again, instead of trying to attract people from all these churches,
right.
I'm going to make some disciples.
Right.
And that's how I'm going to build a core group of people. So I think that's really one of the key learnings for me, mm-hmm. is that and when it comes to church, you know, it forces you to ask the question, hey, what is the church? And think about it. And I'm going to give a real super simple answer, but, you know, a church is a family of disciples.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's actually what a church mm-hmm. is. You know, mm-hmm. so the starting of a church is when you begin to have generations of disciples made, mm-hmm. you get a church,
right.
and that's what
right.
Jesus did,
that's right.
and that's what he did when he sent his disciples out.
That's right.
So that was a big learning
for
me.
That's cool, man. We say this around here a lot that you know, if you make disciples, it may or may not lead you to Jesus, but if you look to Jesus, it will always lead you to making disciples, because that's what Jesus did, right?
Yeah, and absolutely.
So there's a lot of talk these days about disciple making, but literally, Jesus's whole plan, his whole process was built around the fact. I mean, he did draw crowds and he did do things with crowds, but where he developed that church was out of that harvest, like you were just talking about. Jesus identified people, poured into them, invested in them, raised them up, and then they went back out to the harvest as well, right?
Yeah, so we really need to disciple the people that mm-hmm. come into our churches.
Yeah.
I mean, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we're going to see, you know, our country, and if we're going to see any level of revival, renewal,
mm-hmm.
if we're going to see the church, you know, there's a lot of talk about where the church mm-hmm. is going and, you know, the fact that there are fewer people going. If we're going to see that turned around, mm-hmm. it's going to be because we are outward focused with the gospel.
Yeah.
And so and that really would be another sort of learning, and that is that I think probably early on I separated evangelism and disciple mm-hmm. making.
Right.
And what you see,
right.
you know, talking about Jesus and what he does
right.
is that disciple making was his evangelism.
That's right.
Who do men say that I am?
That's right.
Who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so that's another big one, you know.
Yeah, you know, I have a good buddy who says, you know, really, it's like two wings on an airplane, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're taking off in an airplane, which wing do you want? Do you want the right or the left?
Absolutely.
And you know what's crazy? In a lot of our denominations, we even intentionally say there's a discipleship department and there's evangelism department, and Jesus only had one department, and that was the disciple-making department.
Yep.
And you know, it's interesting. I know you've read this book, Robert Coleman's book, classic book on disciple-making, and it's called The Master Plan of Evangelism. Master Plan of Evangelism. So when I first saw that, I thought, well, either he wrote the wrong book or he got the wrong title.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, he didn't. He showed exactly what Jesus did, and Jesus came to make disciples that would in turn make more disciples. And if we do that, that really is the master's plan for how we're going to reach the planet. And that is so, so good. So we're almost out of time here, but just do this for me, man, because I know a lot of times I like, when I'm listening to a podcast or whatever, Man, I like to get some really practical takeaways and how I can just take what I hear and go out the next day and maybe sort of start implementing it. So we got pastors and leaders that connect with us here. And so if you were going to say, you know, because you and I talk some, and I know a little bit about what it looks like in your world. You got pockets of people that you meet with, and a lot of guys you meet in the gym and you connect with. And so just for guys to have like a very like real-time takeaway, give me one or two things you say, this is what it looks like in my life, right, in my world right now.
Yeah. So, you know, if I'm talking about my world right now, you know, it gets to schedule. You know, like disciple making. Someone asked me the other week, I was sort of inviting them into a relationship. They said, how long will this take? And I responded, all your life. Mm-hmm. You know, and he said, whoa, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is an all your life proposition. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, from a very, practical perspective, one of the things that I actually did was I sort of gave up my consulting job where I travel around the country every day of the week, and now spend my time at home, being more of a shepherd, you know. But I set aside Thursdays and Fridays for disciple making. Mm. And so I start early in the morning. Tomorrow I'll be up at 6 o'clock. I'll be in the Waffle House with two guys. And one of the practical things we do is I invite someone, Ken, would you be willing to read through the Gospels with me in a certain way? And yeah, I'd be willing to do that. Great. Now, Ken, you go invite someone and I'll let you. And so we have those relationships that come together. And so Friday I'll have two, we'll start the morning early on a Zoom call with two guys that I'm really excited about from Texas that I met that are real catalytic people of influence that are just wanting to learn what they would call the Jesus style disciple making. And then I'll leave there and I'll go to a biscuit barn, I think they call it, and I'm actually going to meet with my son and one of the community leaders in our county, and you've got to, practically speaking, you got to make time. You know, you got to reprioritize your life, your schedule. And then the other thing I would say that's probably just a really takeaway is, and I think to be effective at it, you need a simple approach and a simple tool. Mm. You know, so what we've tried to do is we've tried to create a process that any person at any time, any place, you know. And, you know, so we just simply talk about five principles that we follow, three relationships, and two rhythms that we practice. Mm. And so, and the first principle is simple enough to reproduce. Mm. So, simple schedule, simple tool, simple structure. So, those are the kinds of things that we're trying to do just to make it practical. Yeah. So, I would say, hey, just begin to pray. You know, and it all starts with prayer, right? So, just begin to pray and ask God to bring someone to your mind, into your life. As you move through life, get out in the community somewhere, CrossFit community, a gym, a coffee shop, make it your place. Pray for God to give you that place.
Yeah.
And then just invite them into a gospel reading relationship.
Yeah. That's good.
You know.
Yeah, so the thing I would say, maybe just for those guys that are listening to us, gals and guys that are listening to us, I would just say one of the things I'm hearing Dave say that we talk about an awful lot around here in the disciple-making church, you know, seminar is really it comes down to two things. One, it's very intentional.
Yep.
I mean, you're not necessarily doing it in an established, organized church. You're doing it more, a little bit more in just relationships that you form, but you're very intentional about it.
Yep.
You're also very strategic. And so that's exactly what Jesus did. So, you know, Jesus didn't have a building, didn't have a board of directors, didn't have a book, didn't have a budget.
Yep.
But Jesus was incredibly intentional and Jesus was incredibly strategic. And he took this handful of guys and he so transformed their lives that they turned the world upside down. So real quick, we'll kind of wrap up. Tell us how people can find out more about Planting the Gospel. Is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, you can simply visit at plantingthegospel.com.
Yeah.
And that's go to Instagram. I think there's a Planting the Gospel Instagram. And but hey, you go.
They
to
probably
the,
can donate and contribute, and give money to it.
Give masses of your wealth to. No. But yeah, the best place is really plantingthegospel.com.
Yeah, very good. So good. We're so good. So anyway, we want to say thank you again for joining us, and just hope that what we've talked about today can encourage you and maybe even help you. I can tell you this, that we would love nothing more to be able to come alongside you and help you to learn how to be about disciple making. I know Dave's available, and obviously we're available here at Impact Disciples. So you can connect with us. You can go to info@impactdisciples.com. You can reach out to us. I can get you in touch with Dave. He can reach out to you, and we reach out to you as well. We love to come alongside local churches and help local churches figure it out. We do a seminar called the Disciple Making Church Seminar. We also have an equipping group that's online for pastors, because here's what we know, is that disciple-making churches need disciple-making pastors. And so we'd love to help you with that. And so let us know if we can do anything to assist you. And we will see you again next month.